Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. To learn more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, which includes information and articles on tax, estate planning, and business planning. It also has videos, and also we keep all of our old radio shows on that website, so if you'd like to check it out, please do so. And lastly, I'd love for you to read my monthly column in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth, also on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics. Today, we're going to be talking about vacation homes. I know a lot of you have been on vacation, taking some time off over the summer to enjoy the weather and enjoy the beaches, enjoy the mountains, wherever you may spend that time. And if you're in the market for a second home, well, congratulations. Not only do you have a place to relax, you can also get some tax benefits for that place that you might have in the mountains or at the beach. And you can use several tax breaks that might be available for you to help you afford that special place. First of all, if you use the place as a second home rather than renting it out as a business property, the interest on your mortgage is deductible, and it's just as deductible as the interest on your first home. You can write off up to 100% of the interest you pay on $1.1 million of debt that's secured by your first and second homes. Now, that's a total of $1.1 million of debt, not $1.1 million per home. And the rules that apply if you rent a place out, well, we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Property taxes. You can deduct property taxes not only on your first home and your second home, your vacation home, but you can deduct it on multiple homes. There's no limitation on the property tax deduction that you can claim. Now, lots of second home buyers rent their property out for part of the year to get others to help pay the bills. So very different tax rules apply depending on how much time you use that property for personal use or rental use. If you rent the place out for 14 or fewer days during the year, you can pocket the cash that you earn from renting the property tax-free. Once again, if you rent it out for 14 or fewer days during the year, you don't have to pay tax on the rent that you may be charging during that short period of time. So if you're charging $10,000 a week for 2 weeks, that's $20,000 that you may have earned from renting the property. The IRS doesn't care about you reporting it for that short time period. But if you rent the property out for more than 14 days, you have to report all the rental income, not just the amount that's earned in excess of the 14 days, but all the rental income has to be reported. You also get to deduct rental expenses. It gets complicated because you need to allocate the costs between the time that the property was used for personal use and for rental purposes. If you and your family use a beach house, let's say for 30 days during the year, and it's rented for 120 days, then you've used the property 150 days during the year. So of that time period, 30 days or 80%, 20% of your mortgage, property taxes, insurance, utilities, and other costs would be considered personal, while 80%, 120 divided by 150 days, would be considered rental expenses. The entire amount you pay a property manager also would be deductible, but it may be subject to limitations that we're going to get to in a second. You also can claim depreciation deductions based on the 80% of the value of the house, the 80% used for rental purposes. So, for example, if a house is worth $200,000, excluding the land, and you're depreciating 80%, a full year's depreciation deduction would amount to about $5,800. You can always deduct expenses up to the level of rental income you report, so there's no limitation in that regard. But what happens if you generate a loss from the rental property, meaning that your expenses exceed your revenues? Whether a loss can shelter other income depends on two factors. One, how much you use the property personally, and number two, how high your income is. So, if you use the place more than 14 days during the year, or more than 10% of the number of days it's rented. Remember, we just had an example where it was rented for 120 days. If you use it for more than 14 days or the greater of 10% of the days that it's rented, it's considered a personal residence, and no losses on the property can be deducted. You still can offset your expenses against the rental income, but the losses are non-deductible. Because it's a personal residence, the interest that doesn't count as a rental expense, remember the 20% in our example, 30 days, it still can be deducted as a personal expense on your income tax return. So can your property taxes. If you limit your personal use to 14 days per year, or 10% of the time that it's rented, the vacation home is considered a business. And then you have a new limitation you have to consider. One is whether or not you've got a passive activity and limitations on the losses that you can claim from the passive activity. The rule generally is that if you have up to $25,000 in losses, you can deduct it if you actively participate in the property rental during the year. So that's why a lot of vacation homeowners hold down their leisure use and spend lots of time maintaining or fixing up the property. Did you know that fix-up days, days that you go down to the beach where you're actually working on the property, don't count as personal use, even though you might be enjoying it in the evenings? The tax savings from the loss, which essentially would be up to $7,000 a year if you're in a 28% tax bracket, will help pay for the vacation home. Unfortunately, holding down your personal use means forfeiting the write-off for the portion of mortgage interest that fails to qualify either as a rental or as a personal residence expense. Now, we say that losses might be deductible, because real estate losses are considered passive losses under the tax law, and I mentioned this $25,000 limitation. That applies to people who have adjusted gross incomes of less than $100,000 a year. If your income is that low, then you can deduct up to the $25,000 in losses each year to offset income from any other source, including salary or interest or dividends. But if your income increases above $100,000, that $25,000 loss is phased out. And if your income is $150,000 or more, it's lost forever, meaning that you don't get to deduct any portion of the loss. Now, to the extent you can't deduct that portion of the loss because it's subject to these passive loss rules, you can carry it forward and use it in the year that you dispose of the property. Now, there is this rule also that applies to people who own personal residences that allow us to exclude a certain amount of gain on the sale of the property. The rule says that a homeowner can take up to $500,000 of profit if you're married and filing jointly and exclude it from your income tax when you sell the property. Now, that rule only applies to your principal residence. It's not a first and second home type thing. But there is a way to extend the tax break to your second home. You could make it your principal residence before you sell it. It's not as crazy as it might sound, and it's not as lucrative as it used to be because the law changed in 2008. Some retirees, for example, sell the big family home, and they move full-time into what used to be their vacation home. Before 2009, this had a real special tax benefit. If you lived in that home for 2 years, up to $500,000 of the profit on the sale of that home could be tax-free, including appreciation in value during the years that you held it as a second home. Now, Congress cracked down on this tax break. For taxpayers who converted a second home to a principal residence after 2008, A portion of the gain on the later sale of the home may be ineligible for this exclusion of up to $500,000, even if you meet the 2-year ownership and 2-year use tests. The portion of the profit that's subject to tax is based on the ratio of the time after 2008, when the house was a second home or a rental unit, to the total time that you owned it. So let's say you owned a vacation home for 18 years, and you make it your principal residence in 2011, and 2 years later, you sell the place. Since the 2 years after 2008, the place was your second home, 2009 and 2010, is 10% of the total 20 years you've owned the home. Only 10% of the gain is taxed. The rest will qualify for exclusion of up to $500,000. Obviously, these rules are complex. Rules relating to the deductibility of rental expenses against rental income. The rules relating to whether or not you even have to pay tax on that rental income. Remember, if you use it for less than 14 days and you actually rent it out for less than 14 days and you may use it for personal use for greater than that time period, you don't even have to report the rental income. So there are some nuances here that you want to consult with a tax advisor. And if you need help on your tax issues dealing with vacation homes or any other purpose, give us a call at 703-218-2100. That's Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, who sponsors Blueprint for Wealth, brought to you every week for your listening enjoyment. And again, please subscribe to my blog at blueprintforwealth.org to listen to past shows as well as to see some videos on topics of interest and read articles on topics of interest in tax, estate planning, and business planning.